Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now, here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. And a little quick announcement. This month, I'm beginning my 21st year of podcasting on the net. And that's something I'm very proud of, something I never expected to do. But you might want to let your listeners, your friends know, because there's a reason I've been here 21 years. People are used to getting the truth from me. The things they said I was crazy talking about 20 years ago, all of a sudden I'm a genius. So let them know they're not alone. My guest today is no stranger to the show. I have Donald Jeffries back. A lot of you wanted him back on so we could continue talking about bullyocracy. Also, Survival of the Richest. I think these two books go hand in hand. So I'm really happy to have Donald back on the show. Good morning, Donald.
Hey, Maria. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
It's crazy days we live in.
Yeah, they certainly are.
I'm dancing as fast as I can. And I think about they shoot horses, don't they? That's how I feel almost every day when I check the news.
I've said, you know, the fake alien invasion next, or is Godzilla going to come out of the ocean? I really, nothing would surprise me. It's something I saw the other day. Oh, God, I can't remember what it was now. But it was something along those lines. And I said, well, you know, it's not, at this point, I wouldn't doubt anything.
No. Who knows what kind of October surprise they have in store for us.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
Maybe it will be Godzilla.
Yeah, could be.
That's the only thing left.
Yeah.
But we live in crazy times. Listen, this morning I'm checking around, I'm checking the news and whatnot. I catch this headline, and I wanted to kick off with this one. Okay, I don't know if you saw it yet or not. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who had testified through the impeachment trial, said that he's retiring from the military. And these are the words of his attorney. His attorney says he blames the White House campaign of bullying, intimidation, and retaliation.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the reason why I wrote Bullyocracy is because it's, you know, when people have power, you know, the old expression, one of my heroes is Lord Acton, who is a great 19th century classical liberal, and he's the one who came up with that line that we still use, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's a rare person, you know, a John F. Kennedy type, that has power that doesn't use it against their enemies. So, you know, that's understandable. I mean, you know, whatever field you're in, I mean, look at Frank Serpico, first revealed police corruption back in 73, and nothing changed. He was retaliated against. Now, people, if you go against someone powerful, in this case, Vindman was going against his boss, and so, you know, that's just, unfortunately, it's human nature. It's a rare thing for people not to retaliate against whistleblowers or anyone that really, you know, provided some negative information about them. And, you know, this goes, because there's so many examples of that, and that's why it is a bullyocracy, because that's...
But here's the thing. We have the supposed leader of the free world who's leading the whole world off a cliff, bullying everybody, okay? He sees Americans as his enemies. He even bullies protesters. He bullies women. And of course, he goes after everyone that's ever hurt him in any way. And then,
yeah,
you know...
Again, this is his personality, and this is why, you know, when he ran, I mean, it goes back to his private life. I mean, you watch The Apprentice or any of those shows, and you grew up in New York, so I'm sure you knew, maybe not people with quite his overblown personality, but I'm sure you met men with that kind of style. You know, he basically is that kind of maybe a construction foreman that would be, you know, saying crude things to women, except for he's a billionaire. Now he's the president of the United States.
Well, it's not just that. He bounces from both your books. Because I was thinking, you know, when I was reading the report of all his cronies, his lobbyists, his family, the Kushners, his own businesses, getting the majority of the PPP money, I said, oh, here we bounce back now to survival of the richest and his pals, pay to play, quid pro quo, whatever you want to call it, from the biggest bully in the universe. While the rest of Americans, you know, we're still supposed to be living off that $1,200 check.
Exactly. Well, and who was it? Because I was really, we're just starting to find out, because, you know, for a long time they kept it hidden, you know, what businesses were getting this, you know, huge amount of money, trillions or whatever, from the stimulus package. But I want to say, you probably know, I'm sorry I'm forgetting it, but I was almost a little surprised, because I think it was one of Trump's critics that ended up, got some kind of money. And do you know what I'm talking about? That it was revealed that he received, I can't figure out who it is now. I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me.
I think one of them had gotten the money, and because it was exposed, they said they were going to return it. But if you're expecting anybody in the Trump administration or his family or the Kushners to return it, good luck with that. And then
you're right, to survival of the richest home. That's why it's so absurd that all these people who don't need it, and that's the way our society runs, right? That's why I wrote the book. I mean, the people that don't need anything, that already have too much,
right,
are just given more. And the people, you said $1,200 stimulus, and I don't know that that some people didn't get the first $1,200 stimulus. But the thing is, hopefully it's going to be over at some point. But, I mean, how many months has this dragged on? And Trump and the Democrats both have kind of talked about maybe doing something, maybe. I mean, Andrew Yang was criticizing them yesterday. He came back in the news. Apparently there's some bill in Congress, I'm not sure which one it was, it was introduced by it doesn't have a chance of passing, but I believe it was going to give people $2,000 a month for 12 months or something.
Well, you know, why not? Actually, if you do the math, if you do the math, it works out a whole lot cheaper than giving billions of dollars to the already rich, to corporations, to lobbyists. You know, this morning I saw another story that megachurch pal of Trump's in Dallas, the Dallas Church, believe it or not, as if they don't have enough money, got $5 million of stimulus money.
That's just insane. And it's just, you know, the system, of course it seems, you know, people react to it when Trump does it in a particular way because of his ridiculous personality. But these cronies will constantly reward each other, and you're right about it would be cheaper in the final analysis. That's what I tried to point out in Survival of the Richest, is how businesses, and in this case government, these are not financially sound decisions. I mean, they would say, oh my God, you know, the Republicans especially would go crazy. $1,200, another stimulus, oh my God, who's going to pay for it?
Right, that extra $600 a week, whoopee. The bottom line is the people that are getting that extra $600 are so underpaid the rest of the time that it just shows you how underpaid they are, and yet we call them essential workers. They should be making whatever that unemployment is plus that $600 every week, and if they're not getting paid that, there's truly something wrong with the system.
Oh, absolutely, and that's you know what, their excuses make no sense. They can't raise the minimum wage, and I've talked about all this. They can't raise the minimum wage because then you'll be paying more for your burgers. You've heard all the arguments.
Right.
Well, you don't pay more when, you know, somebody gets a $400 $400 million golden umbrella or something. That somehow that doesn't affect the cost of burgers.
Right.
If they raise the lowest line, and it's everything where who's going to pay for it? There's no such thing as a free lunch, and as I showed in that book. And you know, there's lots of people that are getting free lunches.
Oh,
they're all in the 1%. They're not paying for anything.
They get free. They get free breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks.
Yes.
let's not leave that out. But when I look at, you know, the Supreme Court's recent ruling that our tax dollars can go to religious schools, to private schools. And then I see how many churches and evangelicals, Mike Pence's evangelical church got millions of dollars on this. If this is going to be the way they play, then they, by all means, should be taxing the churches.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that just stands to reason. A lot of people have wondered about that for a long time. But yeah, you're right. If they're going to be getting this kind of largesse, and again, there you have a typical, I mean, you talk about, you know, another really kind of lifelong typical corrupt neocon in Mike Pence. Of course he's going to see to it that the money goes to his church. I mean, you know, again, these people of faith, I'm not sure, you know, what kind of faith they have, but you know, it's nice that we're seeing a little bit of information about where this money is going, but I don't know where it'll go, because it's going to be the typical the typical bickering where the Democrats will say things about it, and Trump will, you know, Trump and the Republicans will just, I don't know, call them names or.
Well, you saw last month when they said that $1.5 billion went to dead people. And when they were questioned on it, they said it wouldn't be effective to ask for that money back. It would create more problems.
Yes, I saw that. Well, you know, these are the kind of things that go on, and nobody cares. I mean, I think it was in, what was it? It might have been Survival of the Richest. I don't know what I wrote about that scam that the IRS has known about for a long time. And again, it's where immigrants in this country, again, they want those immigrants at the bottom because they provide that cheap labor. That's why they're still bringing up, apparently Trump is supposedly, I think, but you never know with Trump, because he's constantly tweeting, and when he actually does anything, I'm not really sure.
Right.
Because people treat his tweets like it's action, and they're just meaningless tweets. But I don't know if he actually did suspend the visa program for the worker program for the rest of the year. I have a hard time believing he did, but that program and just illegals in general have been exploited tax-wise, and I wrote about it in Survival of Riches, where the IRS knows about this scam, and it's crumbs they're doling out to people that don't have anything.
Right.
But they're giving them a little bit of reward to keep them here doing the cheap labor and lowering wages for everybody else, so that they're very valuable. And it's a thing where they're basically claiming a dependence that they basically can claim anybody and say they have, you know, five kids back in Mexico or whatever, nobody checks on it. And I have the quotes from the IRS there where they know what's going on and they don't care. So there's this kind of corruption is everywhere and it's all over the place. So
right. Well, you know, Trump had no problem hiring illegals at his golf courses and his hotels. He didn't have any problem paying them $4 an hour to build his Trump towers.
He loves them as much. I mean, I don't think there's a billionaire in the world that doesn't love that, because ultimately what they want, Maria, is they resent having to pay anything. That's why this one, they keep talking about slavery in this country from 150, 200 years ago. It drives me crazy, because there are 40 million slaves in the world today,
right.
10 million of them in India. I don't hear anybody boycotting India who's taken over our IT industry with cheap labor. Nobody can. They would like to, the people that run corporate America especially, well, ideally, they resent having to pay workers at the bottom anything. They
right.
don't pay you anything. You
right.
should be grateful to have the job. So they would love to bring back slavery. They just can't. They can't publicly endorse it.
Right, but it is. It's an. It is. It's. You're a wage slave in this country. And you know, when you talk about illegals or immigrants, you know, they work hard. The little money they make, a lot of it they put back into our economy. They pay their taxes, which they know they're never going to collect. They're never going to collect Social Security or anything else, especially if they're working under a fake, you know, Social Security number or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, all of a sudden with the coronavirus, these are the people that became essential workers, heroes. But now that the virus has been dragging on, you see it yourself because I see your posts. They're asking people to come back to work and paying them less.
Yes, I predicted that early on. I think we talked about this on an earlier show. That I think I think this is a plandemic. As FDR said, nothing in politics happens by accident. I don't know what really is going on with this thing, but a lot of powerful interests are milking it for all it's worth, and you're seeing subservience. You're seeing obedience to authority like you've never seen before. I mean, all this is, the world was shut down, Maria, without a single troop, without a single police force, and nothing was needed. They just said, hey, this is your health, and of course people are terrified. They want to stay healthy. So they instantly went into lockdown mode. They're still doing that. But, you know, when you have something like, God, what was my original point? That's what happens, Maria. I go off tangent.
That's all right. Listen, it's hard to separate facts anymore in my own brain because there's so much. It's like taking a whipping every single day to just try to keep up with the news. So I absolutely understand, but we're talking about the pay cuts to come back to work. You know, cheer them on. Yes. Heroes, but let's pay them less.
Exactly. So I said at the time, I said, is this because of the unprecedented situation we're in? We're just starting we don't even realize what the economic fallout's going to be from this, from all these businesses being shut down and hover. I mean, the ridiculous fake unemployment rate that Trump rightfully criticized during his campaign, but now is quoting, and like it's still the same, you know, dishonest way they calculate it.
Right.
But they report these things, and you know, there's nobody can possibly. Well, how could, you know, the most jobs ever have been created last month? I mean, yeah.
That's bull crap. That's just people going back to work.
Yeah. Exactly. These are possible statistics. We don't know how many millions of people were thrown out of work. How many people? When they go back, and that's what I saw coming, is that, a lot of these businesses, you can't argue with them too much. It's kind of a legitimate excuse to say, well, you know, I had to shut down for 4 months.
Right.
You're lucky I didn't set a business, so I can't afford to pay you $12 an hour anymore. Now it's going to be not, I mean, you almost can see their point, but I knew that this would be a repercussion from this, that instead of getting higher wages, which obviously we need desperately, you're going to actually have lower wages. And I think it's just a way to crush, you know, this is the main message from Survival of the Richest, is that what made America great was the middle class that was built primarily during that post-war boom that, you know, as baby boomers, you know, we experienced that. And that was the greatest economy we've ever had. We've never had one like it. And they're squeezing it out now so that there's very few people left in the middle class. And this is going to, you know, make sure that they squeeze some more of them out. Because some middle class workers probably are never going to get their jobs back from this, and when they do, they're going to have to be making even less money. And of course, you look at the problem with people retiring, baby boomers retiring, and a lot of them have lost their pensions, so they don't have pensions. And yet you have this just another impossible math situation. Social Security is bad enough, but you have another math situation with all of these, you know, quite lucrative pensions. For government workers, people don't realize how many police chiefs and firefighter, officials and stuff are making really nice pensions. And of course, these are all paid for by taxes. And it's busting the system.
Absolutely.
In many of these big cities, they can't do it. And what's ironic is the people that are paying them are largely private industry citizens who don't have any pensions and will never have one.
Right. So well, here's something interesting, Donald. I got the latest newsletter from AARP yesterday, and I guess a lot of retired seniors, what you just said, have lost their retirement, their pension, because they were gambled away in the stock market. And they decided, to ask whether or not that they can sue to collect their pension. And bottom line is, no, they can't. So that's gone. So you work all your life, you do all the right things, and then you get screwed in the end by the rich, of which I had a stat yesterday. 92% of the market is owned by the top 10%.
Yes, yep. I've quoted that. And that's people don't. I mean, I'm lucky I have a little tiny share of the market with my 401k, but most people don't. You know, so when I'm looking, I still am interested in whether the stock market goes up or down, but for most of America, you know, for that 90%, I mean,
right,
it's irrelevant. What do they care what happens? But so it really, and of course, we know it's people manipulating it anyhow. But we talk about the, I've written about how, I believe it was, who was it? Was it Romney? I think it's Romney. I think it's Mitt Romney, who was leading the spirit, but again, behind the scenes. And again, this is something else attached. We don't know all the terrible things that are attached to this stimulus bill that we don't know much about now. And one of the things is and of course they code it a different way, they word it so it's not what it seems, but it's basically a way to reassess Social Security. And of course a lot of us have been worried about this for a long time because that's impossible math. They've known for a long time that there aren't enough millennials out there making enough money to pay for all the aging baby boomers who, you know, a lot of them made big salaries, so they're getting the maximum amount of Social Security. The math doesn't work. So what's going to be the answer? They can keep retiring. Of course, their usual answer is let's keep raising retirement age, you know, so you don't get anything and hope you
right.
die before you get it. But
right.
Now they just, I think they're on the way to where they're going to severely limit it or something. And, you know, I hope there's hell to pay for it. The, you know, the AARP and lots of other organizations representing.
Right. Well, I always remind people, you know, we old people, we have nothing to lose. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
we don't really care if we go to jail. There'll be no more bills to pay. You know, you'll
right.
get your three squares, you'll get your medical treatment, whatever you need, and you don't have to worry about it. So if he wants to take on the blue hairs, which he happens to be one of,
right.
both of
right.
them, Romney, and, you know, when they talk about seniors, these guys like Trump, they must think they're teenagers. You know,
sure,
bring
sure.
it on. You know, I say bring it on.
Sure.
But here's the other thing. The government has borrowed trillions of dollars from Social Security.
Yes.
Pay it back.
Right.
Pay it back, and the fund will go on till everybody's dead.
Right, and they started dipping into that during the LBJ's administration, and of course in the Reagan years, he just went crazy on it because that's when they started commingling it with the general fund, and of course this is the great government, this is the great tax cutter who managed to put a double tax on started taxing Social
right,
Security benefits,
right.
and nobody seems to have noticed or protested.
And I remember because you know I was just in the process. I had just bought my second house. I was living in New York when Reagan got in, and I got in under the wire. Believe it or not, I thought I had a deal. I got a 9% mortgage rate. As soon as Reagan came in, blink, the people that bought the house being constructed next door to me in the same year were happy to get an 18% mortgage rate.
Right.
So this is, you know, people that have lived through these horrific administrations, I think is another reason they want us all dead, because we know better. But it just seems every time a Republican gets in office, everything goes to shit financially. They give us the same promise. They're going to be fiscally responsible. Well, we got a president who spent almost 300 years of presidential salary just playing golf, an elitist sport. And people want to brag, oh, but he donates his salary. Are you kidding? His salary is nothing compared to what he's bleeding out of us.
But again, when you're all in on somebody, and Trump has a loyal faction that is, you know, still believing that that JFK Jr. faked his death and is going to lead the charge during the swamp from behind the scenes. I mean, I get those discussions all the time. It's like, you know, I was the first one to expose the fact that JFK Jr. was assassinated. But
right.
you know, I would love to think he's out there somewhere and he's going to charge off stage and
right.
people wait night save everything. But you know, you have to, you know, this is just
Listen,
ridiculous.
All people have to do is watch John Hankey's film, Who Killed JFK Jr. It was an amazing film. I interviewed John on it. It's probably still in the archives. And the best part, at the time, I was dating a man who was a pilot. And I sat him down and I let him watch it. And that man was furious after he saw that movie. And you know, when people see the truth and they actually have a brain in their heads, how can you not get angry?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's, and I've been toasting. And of course, you know, speaking of the Kennedys, and this is a little off topic, but it's, you know, I don't know if you saw, I posted. There was a very curious video, and it came out at a strange time. It came out, I think, March 23rd or something, right about when this pandemic or whatever really started to hit. And I don't know if you saw it or not. It was the Kennedy, JFK's grandchildren. He's got three, because Carolyn has three kids. And we've seen Jack Schlossberg, who I'm no fan of. You know, he's basically a bad-mouth people that are interested in his grandfather's assassination. He's no JFK Jr. But he and his two sisters and I guess some other friends and their boyfriends and girlfriends, they sing this song, Timber, which I guess is in a song, I don't know if it's Adele or somebody, I don't know. But it's kind of a song that it sounds like something's going to happen. And, of course, they can't. None of them can sing, so they didn't do it for music. But it's a long video, and the timing is interesting. Because it got lots of, you know, went viral on YouTube, and it came out literally, I think, a week before that Mabee McCain, who was RFK's granddaughter, drowned in a very strange accident with her 8-year-old son on the Chesapeake Bay, which is not that far from me. And I, you know, I having been on Chesapeake Bay, I can't conceive of any normal person going out on the bay in a canoe.
Right.
And that's what she did with her 8-year-old son to retrieve a ball. I mean, can you imagine that? The Kennedys couldn't afford a new ball, but that's the story. But right. Then right after that, RFK Jr., literally the next day, starts blasting Bill Gates on Instagram with a venom I've never seen before. I mean, he just now, and, but of course, maybe McCain's job was as a policy director for a global policy initiative that was funded, a global health initiative that was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So are these all connected? I especially considering the Kennedys, you know, and the
right.
Have a pinch of,
you know. Everybody wants to say it's a curse. No, it's more like it's been nothing but assassinations. You know, I got a little tidbit this morning. One of his nieces, I forget where, I have it for tomorrow's news show, just won in her primary against a Republican. And whenever I see the Kennedys winning anything, I get trepidations for them.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think the only reason, RFK Jr. has become the most bold Kennedy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Obviously, in that generation, and because he's speaking out about a lot of things. And
right. Well, if your father was murdered, wouldn't you be the same way?
Yeah, well, you'd think, but none of the rest of them are. But unfortunately, he has that hereditary disease that Rose Kennedy, if you remember her speaking, had. It's some kind of a hereditary thing where you kind of lose your voice. And you can't really talk above a whip. So I think that has derailed any political career because, you know, people are so superficial, you know, they have to. They would instantly discount him because of that. You know, I can't hear what he's saying.
Which is another form of bullying.
Yeah, really. Because I mean, I guess that means you know, nobody that's you know, that can't talk or is deaf or something maybe.
Right.
Could ever have a political career.
I mean, well, you remember that famous video of Trump making fun of that handicapped reporter.
Yes.
So we go back to the biggest bully in the world, and I'm sure you've seen the hubbub the past 2 days, where, to me, he's encouraged every bully, every psychopath out there, because all we see is bullying throughout the country now. But the best was Tucker Carlson taking on Tammy Duckworth and having the nerve to call her unpatriotic, un-American.
Yeah, no, I saw that, and again, it's a shame. Because,
it's contagious. His bullying has allowed it to become a norm. Whether it's a cop punching a woman in the face in Miami Airport, which I hope you saw that video.
Yeah.
I think to kids, you know, really ramping it up now. You know, even you know, little kids taking on children of color because of Trump and saying you don't belong in this country. This is my country. Get out. Sort of like the idiots at his Mount Rushmore disaster, telling Native Americans who were protesting to go back where they came from.
Yeah, that's the state of ignorance in America. And it's unfortunate that, again, this is a byproduct of a personality like Trump's. I mean, you really get the idiocracy factor because he's you know, he has a lot in common with President Camacho. I mean, I look like President Camacho.
No, not at all. He wishes he looked like Terry Crews.
but he has a lot in common with him as far as his personality, and it's that kind of WWE style, and it has definitely lowered the level. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see. I mean, the political discourse was, you know, was corrupt, and it was meaningless most of the time.
It was never this nasty. It was never anything like this.
No, but at least there was a halfway civility about it, and they weren't constant personal attacks. But the Trump style is, you know, that's the style, and it's made it so that everybody, I guess if you don't do it, you don't fit in now. And, of course, you know, people have to retaliate. They feel they're retaliating. So
right.
it lowers everything, and it puts things down in the gutter, and it makes it kind of a food fight, and that's what politics has become. And
I mean, listen, I'm not saying we ever had the strongest moral code in the world in America, but everybody's losing their minds, okay? I saw quite a few stories already this morning about the anxiety level in this country, not just because of the coronavirus and the lockdown and the economy, and the list goes on and on. But you look at the anxiety level, you know, I actually, you know, I didn't share this with my listeners because my listeners get too worried if I even tell them I have a hangnail. But when they did the shutdown, Donald, I lost everything that I need to keep calm doing the work I do.
I remember you writing about that. Yeah, and they don't factor those things in when they that people need that. Especially, I know so many people. You know, people contact me. I mean, I have the 5,000 friend limit on Facebook, and I people message me all the time. They even call me on the phone. And I seem to have an audience of everybody. Some targeted individuals, I don't even understand or know about mm-hmm. that, but targeted individuals flock to me. I guess they think I'll be receptive or something or listen to it. But there's so many people out there in America. I've toyed about writing a book like The Loneliness Phenomenon or something. There's so many people that live alone
right.
that don't have anybody. And in a situation like this, when they're forced...
You're going to snap.
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about, you know, suicide is up and people abuse is up because families are cooped together and they flip out on each other. But I think what's worse are the people that are lonely, and at least they were able to get out maybe and go sit in a local restaurant or something, or maybe go see
people watch, whatever. I agree. Yeah. But you know,
and
listen, this
at the gym. You're right. All the people because that gets your, you know, that gets good, not only good for you, but
well, I'm sure you saw that one of the big gyms in Scottsdale took out a lawsuit against the governor, who's a Trump ass kisser. And he lost, but he's still continuing the fight. Because he wants the gyms closed till the 27th. So for me, you know, listen, I'm in a dipshit small town, Donald. We have 6 gyms. If on any given day that I'm there, which I'm there 7 days a week, there's more than 5 people in the gym, I'm shocked. Okay. Everybody's cleaning the machines. Everybody's cleaning after themselves. Everybody's washing their hands. So they closed the gym down for 2 months. This older couple, believe it or not, older than me, they were in pretty good shape. They're there every day. You know, they'll get on the bikes. They'll do a little weight training. The woman has dementia. And I knew she had dementia. I mean, they've been the same people in my gym for the past 4 years. Because she repeats the same story sometimes. But she's cute as anything and endearing. All right?
Sure.
Well, right after they reopen the gym where it's closed like a month and a half, only the husband shows up. And I looked at him and I said, well, where's Pat? She's bedridden. Her dementia got so bad, she's in bed. She can't get up. She can't feed herself. She can't shower herself.
Sure.
He takes it to the doctor. The doctor says, you're only enabling her by doing for her. So he starts walking her into the gym, literally sitting her on a bike. And every few minutes looking over to remind her to move her legs.
Yeah.
Now, the difference in what I saw in this poor woman in just a month and a half, Donald, was amazing. But now she's been back in the gym forcibly for maybe 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
She walks by herself. She gets on the bike by herself. She's doing her thing. And it's been proven that people with dementia... if they work out, they go to a gym, they work out, weight train, whatever, it doesn't reverse it, but it stops the progression. And here I was watching this in real time to see that this woman almost got to death's door in a month and a half. So to me, it's a deliberate way of making it, shutting down the things that keep us strong, keep us social, because for a lot of old people, that's their only contact with other people during the day. They leave the nursing home, go to the gym. They see a few familiar faces. They're happy.
Yeah.
So to me, it's deliberate. They want to kill our immune systems. And this way, we're easier to say, yeah, give me that vaccine. Give me that drug. And listen, they've been on Bill Gates, especially, a depopulation agenda forever. So this is fitting right into their hands. And maybe it started where it would look like it was just targeting seniors, but now it's hitting young people the most. So just like all their other things, that evil that they've sprayed on us through the years, the horse got out of the barn.
And a lot of people, that's one of the many conspiracy theories that are going to come up with a situation like this. It's unprecedented, is that this is a way for them to get rid of all the old people. You know, to get rid of a bunch of them because they don't want to pay us. They want to get rid of Social Security.
Right.
And they don't, you know, they already don't have pensions. And
they know we know history. They know we know our rights. So we're a danger to what they want as what they're going to call the new normal. Donald, we need to take a break. So stay with us. Donald and I will be right back.
Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks.
Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with Donald Jeffries. If you don't have his book, Survival of the Richest, How the Corruption of the Marketplace and the Disparity of Wealth Created the Greatest Conspiracy of All, buy it today. Buy 10 copies. Give it out to everybody you know. It doesn't matter what side of the fence they're on. Bullyocracy, his other excellent book, How the Social Hierarchy Enables Bullies to Rule Schools, Workplaces, and Society at Large, especially the White House now. Which you didn't have time to put on the cover because that was written before we really got a shot at looking at the maniac in charge. But Donald, I wanted to share a story with you because I started to say it, and I want my listeners to know, because I don't like my listeners worrying about me. Listen, we're all going to die sooner or later. Enjoy me while I'm alive, all right? Don't panic over whether or not I get sick or whatever. But back in May, after the gym was closed, everything was shut down. I can't get workout. I can't get a massage. I can't see a naturopath for these natural shots that I get. And I start falling apart. So I went to see my regular MD. And I walk in and he said, because I started having severe palpitations, dizzy spells, just feeling like I was going to pass out. And when I go in to see my doctor, he immediately did an EKG. And the EKG was normal. And he said to me, well, what's going on? And I said to him, I looked him straight in the face, Donald, and I said, I have Trump anxiety disease. So obviously he's a Trump supporter. And he said to me, well, they're all bad. I said, no, nothing is like this bastard we have in office. And he shut up. Okay. So he said, well, just to be sure, I want you to see a cardiologist. I said, okay. Because he's like, just in case. So I go to see a cardiologist. So they do another EKG, and then they do an ultrasound on my heart, and then they put a heart monitor on me for 2 weeks. I'm all this time telling my doctor, this is anxiety, okay? Well, yesterday I got to see the cardiologist, you know, with all the reports on all the tests I had, and he says to me, your heart is perfect. There's nothing wrong. I said, what about my arteries? Your arteries are great. So I said to him, he said, this just looks like anxiety. What you're going through is anxiety. Okay, he says, have the symptoms eased up any? And I said, yes, they have eased up. But that's because I'm back. I'm able to get my massage. I'm able to go to the gym. I'm able to release all this hatred and violence that I have to cover somewhere. But the bottom line is, every day I see news stories that the entire country is suffering anxiety. My doctor said it. My friend's doctor said to him when he went in for antidepressants, he said, I'm on antidepressants. He said, the whole country is suffering anxiety. So we don't know which end is up. Remember, we've never seen or experienced anything like this. And that's let alone now, they're not covering the people that have not gone in for cancer treatments, for heart disease, for other diseases who are going to die as a result of this coronavirus, which could be higher figures than the virus, which is hard to believe, but it could happen.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we've already, you know, for years, America has been stressed out, and it's a lot of it is based on, so many of us worry about financial things.
Of course.
I mean, when 80% of the public is living paycheck to paycheck, and has less than $500 in the bank, and jobs are not secure anymore before this.
Right.
And now that this has happened, obviously, you know, so many people have lost jobs, so the financial uncertainty is even greater. Mm-hmm. People are worrying about, regardless of what you think about the coronavirus and anything there, it's a worry any way you look at it.
Right.
And so people are stressed out about that. Mm-hmm. Now you have the protests that are across the country that more businesses are having to be boarded up and losing. So those people, I put something online about they estimated that from the first weekend of the protests alone, the bill from the big cities was, I think, $430-some billion for the first weekend. So that's going to be trillions by the time it's done. And again, who's going to have to pay for that? They're going to pass it on to the taxpayers. Most of them who don't, a lot of them don't have jobs now. And
right.
Most of them are underpaid.
And a lot of those jobs, I'm sure you saw, you know, Yelp posted a story. And Yelp is, you know, everybody knows what Yelp is. They said that 40% of the businesses or the jobs lost are permanent.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you look at flagship stores, you look at malls closing.
Right.
It's where are people supposed to work?
And there's no vision for that. There's no, and you have people, again, I was not the biggest fan of Andrew Yang, but he did represent a couple really good things. He was young.
He made sense.
And he was thinking outside the box.
And a new math.
He was talking about things like guaranteed income, which you have to look at, because if you're not going to have enough jobs, and you already, most of the jobs don't pay mm-hmm. enough to meet the cost of living, you have to look at something like that. But that goes against, you know, the American mindset so much. I mean, I think I've told you this before, that a lot of the resistance I run into, and Survival of the Richest is by far the least successful in my books. I mean, Naomi Wolf wrote the foreword of the paperback, hasn't helped sales much at all. And I think people, even the people that who logically should love the book and would benefit from some kind of redistribution of wealth, they bought the propaganda and they're
right.
opposed to it. They
you
they
too can that, be a millionaire. All right.
Yeah,
anybody
exactly.
can
they,
be
they
a millionaire.
They think somehow that they're going to be rich. And I show there's no upward mobility. You have zero chance at that. Yeah, you know, but you just keep playing the lottery, I guess. You know, and expect the same thing. They resent, and I don't know how many times people have told me, well, what's your definition of rich? People who have more than you? And I said, look, there's nobody I know, and I know some fairly wealthy people. There's not a person I know that would have to give up their wealth under any kind of Huey Long type redistribution plan. That's the very, very top. But people don't understand that. They don't understand how much money is there. And they think somehow somebody's going to take away the little bit they have. And I try to explain to them, what, you don't have anything. Why would you, what are
right.
they going to take? I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, you might have maybe if you're a homeowner, you might have a home that's worth $300,000-$400,000 in a lot of areas. That's not going to provide much redistribution of wealth, and nobody's going to take that. But they don't understand it, and it's, you know, it sounds like socialism to them. So
right.
that's the problem.
Well, because they buy the bullshit. Listen. I'm sure you heard it when you were a kid. You know, if you want something, you got to work hard, earn the money, then you get it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how hard did these rich people work? They didn't. They made their money on the backs of the immigrants. They made their money on the backs of illegals. They made their money on my back, your back.
Yeah.
And only Bernie Sanders seems to be the one that sees clearly on that.
Well, the hardest working people... And obviously, in any society, the people that are doing the hard physical labor, they're doing this stuff. Not that, of course, it's denigrated in saying anybody can do that. Well, I would argue with that, but no one wants to do it.
Exactly.
So, you know, so if they're doing the work, nobody wants to do that. I mean, who wants to clean toilets and things like that? And it's physical labor. Who wants to work construction when it's 95 degrees out and be on a roof and do roofing and things like that? That's hard work. So, you
right.
know, if it's really hard work that matters, mm-hmm. then those jobs should theoretically pay a lot more than some vice president in charge of looking out the window
right.
that's sitting in an office and whose main job is to say, that's right, J.R., that's, you know, just to agree with the CEO so that he gets a huge bonus too. But people don't look at it that way, and we don't reward hard work. We don't reward seniority anymore. It used to be, you know, that people mm-hmm. criticized the unions for a lot of things, and certainly they had... you know, mob connections, and we know all about that. The Kennedys, you know, fought against that as well, and that was problematic. But they served the main purpose of they did raise wages and increase benefits for even non-union jobs. And back then, if you stayed at a company like I did, I stayed
right.
at a company my entire life until they fired me a couple of years ago for helping out a handicapped coworker, because I live in a right-to-work state, which means it's a right to fire you for any reason.
Uh-huh.
Nothing I can do about it. And literally, in those kinds of states, they can, if they don't like the way you look when you come in one day, they can fire you. People don't understand that. They think, how can you do that? Well, they can legally do that. Try to fight it in our courts. You can't. But seniority used to mean something.
Right.
I even got a little bit because I was there so long. But it used to be, especially under the union system, the longer you were there, you were rewarded for staying with the company and loyalty. Now you're considered a loser if you somehow are able to stay with the company for a long time. Like, what's the matter with you, man? You worked for one company for 20 years? Are you crazy?
So you can't really blame the millennials when they quit by just never going back. Some of them will be kind enough to send their bosses a text that I'm never coming back. But who blames them? And listen, every young person I talk to, I tell them, don't bother with loyalty to your employer. They have no loyalty to you.
Absolutely.
Those days ended a long time ago.
Right. It can't just be a one-way street. And I have every sympathy with the millennials. The millennials, we've given them a raw deal. My children are millennials, and it really hurts me to think that, as Ross Perot said back in the early 90s, if we don't stop the trend with the trade deals and everything, and the way that America was going at that time, then we're going to have raised the first generation that has a lower standard of living than their parents. And unfortunately, our generation is going to be that generation, our children's generation. God knows what the grandchildren's generation will be like, but it's really tragic, but no one seems to. And I see so many people that are my age and older that are just, they're living in another world. They keep saying, oh, I see plenty for help wanted signs and all this. They don't understand anything how the marketplace has worked for a long time, let alone now. God knows imagine how many job applicants you're going to be having for every job with all the millions of people out of work.
And think about who's going to want to go back to work.
Especially because they actually did have I know one young guy, he's a friend of mine, who's working in a bowling alley, and he was, because they increased the unemployment or something, I don't know how they did that, but he was getting much more on unemployment than he was making working full time.
But that's what I said at the beginning of the show. If you have to, if you have to count on that extra $600 on top of your unemployment, that shows how little you're being paid on your job. Why would anybody want to go back to work, number one, and risk getting sick? And listen, this coronavirus, people can say whatever they want. It's real. Okay, I know several people that are in the hospital with it. Okay, it's pretty damn ugly. And yet they want you to not only go back to work, but they want you to go back to work for less money. Trump wants the schools to reopen, but he let Manafort and Cohen out because they could have caught the coronavirus in jail.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, too, what happens, because, unfortunately, Bullyocracy came out at a very inconvenient time, because it came out literally right as this thing hit, so I had to cancel book signings and interviews and everything, so I haven't been able to talk about it as much as I wanted to, and I'm afraid that most of the subject matter might become irrelevant in a way, because we don't know if the school systems are ever going to come back to what they were before, because the whole premise of the book is a social hierarchy. I don't know if that social hierarchy will be there anymore. If you have people going video conferencing in for education and more homeschooling, you're not going to have the same thing. So I don't know if that will lead to a transformation in society where there won't be as many psychopaths or bullies in charge, because there won't be that social hierarchy to enable them.
Right.
And get to, especially like if colleges, some colleges close and they don't have these fraternities and sororities, because that's the next step in the process. That's where the vast majority of Fortune 500 CEOs all come from the Greek life. They're all they're all frat brothers, and so these are all. It's just the next step up from being on the football team or whatever in high school, and then of course it graduates from there to where they can use their real power. I mean, if they have a certain amount of power in high school where they rule the hallways.
Well, in a way, it might be a good thing.
Yeah, so I'm saying that could be one.
But then your book would just become a history book.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know how to feel about that but I hope, hopefully people would look and learn and say, wow, why did we let this happen? So, I mean, look, I hope that that would be the case. It may be, we do see fewer, although I just don't, I think a certain number of people, I don't know how many psychopaths are born. I've always been a nurture versus nature guy, and that's kind of out of date now. Most people think, genes play a tremendous role. So I don't know how many psychopaths are just born. Maybe there are some. Right. Even Donald Trump, I was reading about, apparently he had who was it that said, I think it was Edward Snowden, who's obviously his judgment I trust. I don't know how well he knows Trump, but he had a quote recently where he said, Donald Trump has never known love in his life that he didn't have to buy.
Right. Well, you see some excerpts from his niece's book.
Right, right. So I think it's in relation to that where you're fine. I mean, you look at his parents, you look at his mother. I mean, the strange hairdo apparently comes from her, because I don't know what was going on with her hairdo and her makeup.
I don't either.
It's like she was trying to look ridiculous, and the father kind of too. And apparently they were both very cold and not loving at all. And so I think, you know, he learned probably early on in life, and especially if you have that kind of money. And I mean, if you have...
But he's always been a bully. You know, from what I've read, the little bit I've read so far from her book, I'm waiting for my copy. I should have it in a month. He's been a bully to his younger brother. When his brother was dying in a drunk rehab, I suppose, Trump went to the movies. You know, reminds me of George W., who used to like to torture small animals when he was a kid.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, fortunately, I guess money and political career maybe... saved us from serial killer then, you know, because that's usually one of the first signs of a potential serial killer if you're torturing animals.
Right.
And W, again, I think they're, you know,
W's family was the same. They didn't even tell him his sister was dead. For how long?
Yeah.
And when the day his sister died, his parents went golfing.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing, I've really, it's disillusioning because I hear from so many people, again, that people contact me, and it's very rewarding, but they're almost... I mean, of course, I love when they say, you know, I loved your books and everything, but I love your writings, your interviews. But so many people tell me their personal stories, and it's amazing the kind of situations that people go through. As Thomas Wolfe said a long time ago, you know, most people lead lives of quiet desperation.
Right.
And so many people are dealing with massive dysfunction. The amount of parents I know they don't talk to their adult children at all. Literally haven't seen them for years.
I know, it's crazy. I
don't understand that. So I think when we see things like Trump's or the Bushes or any of these families like that, I think you're seeing that it's the same kind of dysfunction, except maybe it's on steroids because of that money and the wealth.
Well, you know, you look at people that have money. You know, let's look at the Jeffrey Epstein crowd. Okay, you know, everybody from the prince to, you know, I'm sure Dershowitz, I'm sure Trump, Clinton, the names are going to be unbelievable, so I'm sure she'll be dead soon. But when you look at what people that have that kind of money become more and more perverse.
Yeah, that's what they do, and it seems this, you know, the child sex trafficking is a natural for that. I really don't understand it, but it seems to be something and I don't know if they have to stay in the club or what, but... or if they really had these desires, but it'll be interesting to see. And I need to actually write and talk more about that before something does happen to her. But that Ghislaine Maxwell, I didn't understand when they finally arrested Epstein, because this was an old story. You and I knew about it for a long time. We knew about the sweetheart deal he got from Trump's secretary, who he appointed, Alexander Acosta. Everybody knew about that. But now for her to, I think she seems like she willingly gave herself up. She has way too much information, and the names on that list would bring Hollywood down as well as the political world. If she survives this, I would be astonished. And I think if she does survive it and she's allowed to name names and they actually do something to them, you might finally see some reform there, because I think it would finally open the can of worms and make people realize, wait a minute, these are the people... These are our leaders that are doing these things, and these are monstrous things that...
These are people we worship, celebrities we worship.
Yeah, I mean, if Uncle Billy, you know, is accused of, ogling touching his 16-year-old niece inappropriately, we want to drum him out of the family and report him to the nearest mental institution.
Exactly.
But these are people that are, doing even worse things.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen, Donald? Even if she names names, she supposedly has all his videos, nothing will happen to these people.
Well, if the past is any prologue, it won't, but I don't, like when Epstein was incarcerated, I said, I don't understand, you know, there's no way he can possibly, he has to attempt to try to save himself, so you think he has to name, well, you know.
Right, well, like, Bill Barr visited his prison 2 days before, suddenly he's off suicide watch, and bingo.
And... Yeah, well, apparently she was taken to the same prison.
Right.
And is already on suicide watch.
Right, but supposedly this morning they moved her to a federal prison in Brooklyn.
I don't know. She should have. I mean, again, they couldn't guard Lee Harvey Oswald either.
Right.
She'd just be literally surrounded by people and in a sterile environment. So
surrounded by cops and surrounded by cops and detectives, and still catch a bullet like Lee Harvey.
Yeah. Oops. Well, detective. He accidentally tripped and the gun went off. In the JFK assassination witness style.
Right. Well, Donald, not surprisingly, but we're out of time. This was like a speed show. So, of course, we'll have to do this again, but I want to thank you for today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Maria. I always have a great time talking with you, and I appreciate your audience.
Oh, you're most welcome. We'll talk soon, Donald.
Thanks, Maria. Take
Bye.
Care.
Donald Thanks. Jeffries. Check out his books, all of them. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. Feel free to let your friends and neighbors know that there is a show that hates everybody out there as much as they do. That's actually been giving you the truth for 20 years. I can't believe it. Anyway, thanks again for supporting the show. I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.